I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we like spooky things. And we really, really like
self-care for yourself.
What did you do this week for self-care?
Well, funny that you asked. So I feel like it was maybe last year around this time, you got me this spooky coloring book. And Ronan's kind of getting into coloring, and I was like, oh yeah, I have this spooky coloring book. So I brought it out and he was like, anyways, trucks. And I was like, well, I'm gonna color
beautifully.
So I colored and it was really relaxing and really fun. So
well, do you remember I opened it and I was like, oh, these are beautifully colored.
You're like, wow, Ronan,
I got myself one
in the
too.
Lines.
It was a Temu purchase for a dollar.
And they're so cute.
So cute.
The little different scenes and stuff. So yeah,
spooky scenes.
It's spooky scenes. It's these cute little cartoon ghosts that are doing cozy things. Did you see the self-care one?
No.
I'll show you before you leave, but it's this little ghost is in a comfy chair and has a face mask and a little towel on her head and
slippers.
See, I
got it because it looked self-care.
It's so cute.
It looked ghosts doing self-care.
It's so cute, yeah.
And what's more fitting?
So yeah, that's what I've been doing this week.
I love that.
What did you do?
I've been up in my iced coffee game, which it's getting cold out. So I'm going to have to probably give up on but I've been all about it. So for my bachelorette party last year, you and my sister made us those
Oh yeah, the iced coffee cup thing. I use that every day.
Drink it unless it's in that.
Yeah, it has to be in that one.
So I didn't have it this morning because I don't know what happened to it. It was one of those things I need to stop worrying about Keith breaking things because I couldn't find it around the house. I'm did Keith break it and secretly threw it away?
Oh God.
He didn't. I'm psychotic and I think that. So anyways, so I looked in the dishwasher. It hadn't started yet.
Okay. Cause that
which so nice of Keith to because he did it for me. I kept the top and the straw in there.
Yeah.
But I was oh, thank God he didn't start the dishwasher.
Yeah, because then the name would have came off, yeah.
But I was so I was able to save it because usually I'm the one that starts the dishwasher. But I was that's really nice that he tried to wash it for me.
Yeah.
So I really appreciated that.
So what have you been doing? What's your iced coffee recipe? What do you do?
So I've been at night brewing coffee and I've been trying different coffees. That's the biggest thing is brewing them and putting them in the fridge. But it's been different creamers and stuff.
Okay.
I don't know. I've been really into the pumpkin creamer, but I've been trying to up my game and mix it in different ways. I don't know. I'm not getting too much into the weeds, but it is the one thing that keeps me going some days.
I love an iced coffee. It's
and
so
I've
good.
Also been doing a yogurt and grains thing in the morning too. If I have enough time, which a lot of the time I
some
don't.
Fruit on there too.
Yeah. So I've been doing Yummy. Cutting up strawberries and putting yogurt and then putting the little grains in because it would be mushy by the time.
Like granola?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been so good.
That is a nice little treat.
Oh, it's so good. And then I'm but again, I don't really eat more than dinner. So that's if I have the time, which most mornings I don't because I'd rather sleep in than do that. So I don't know. It's just been I sound so boring, but that's what I've been doing. So that's my self-care.
Oh, that's fun. I
it. So what are you going to tell me about this week?
Well, before I tell you about it, I want you to just take a peek at this man's face and tell me if you recognize him.
He kind of looks like Elvis-y, kind of like.
Sure. Okay. I just wasn't sure if you had like seen this show, because I was like, I watched this documentary and then I was like, I recognized the guy and I'm like, why can I not?
He looks familiar.
Place him.
No, it's definitely like one of those familiar faces, but it was just like, he kind of like has that because of the.
He's like kind of a handsome actor.
Clearly, type. I'm obsessed with Elvis because last episode I talked about him too. So.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you about the PI moms. So it was like basically it was a Lifetime show about private investigator moms in the San Francisco Bay Area in like the early, like mid 2000s, so 2010.
Okay, so it was a reality show.
Yes.
Okay, that's why I was going to ask when, because that's like the height. Well, they're going on. I mean, it's all I watch.
But that was like kind of when reality TV was like really, really
taking off. Yeah, it wasn't just The Bachelor anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like I said, it was a Lifetime Network show that they were trying to create, revolving around these real life like women who were moms. And they were also private investigators. And they worked with this guy at an agency. His name was Chris Butler. And his company or agency or whatever was like Chris Butler and Associates. So he was like an ex-cop.
Did this show not take off?
No.
Okay, because I was about to say I've never heard of it.
Yeah, because like I would absolutely watch that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you basically the downfall of like why it didn't end up getting to become a real show.
Okay, because I'm like, that sounds amazing. Why am I just now hearing about it?
Yeah. So the show creator, Lucas Platt, basically heard about these women and was like, this would make such a great reality show. Like,
I agree with
him. Let's do it. Yeah. So he approached Chris Butler and Associates and he's like, hey, we want to make this show. And they're obviously like, hell yeah, let's do it. And the women were stoked. It was a group of women, Michelle Allen, Charmaine Peters, Denise Antoon, and Ami Wiltz.
I have a question. Being PIs, isn't it a bit of a concern? And I think that's great. Like, I would be excited too. But isn't the concern that people would see them and then if they're private investigators and they become like famous, you know, when people start recognizing them and they're being like, am I being followed by a private investigator? Do you get what I'm asking?
Yeah, I guess. I'm not sure they even got that far, though.
Okay. Okay. Well, sure, because we didn't hear about it. But I was just like, wait a minute. So.
Yeah. And so they were like, these ladies were super excited because a lot of them actually, like, before they became moms were, like, in either law enforcement or were, like, doing, like, lawyer work or, like, so they all had some sort of kind of, like, law enforcement, investigating sort of background. Like, they weren't just, like, random noobs. And they liked it because they were, like, hell yeah, this gives me, like, flexibility. So it's, like, I'm doing, like, you know, drop off in the morning, dropping the kids off at school, and then all day I'm like tailing people and like investigating. So it's like exciting and fun and like empowering.
Being a private investigator is like, a lot how of cool would that around. Be? Yeah.
Yeah. And so they were like,
use your time making some good money.
Yeah. They were like using like camcorders and like, you know, gathering like legit evidence as if they were, you know, like they're professionals.
Yeah.
So it was really cool and it was going to be this amazing show. The ladies were also excited because it was like the show creator or the producer, whatever, Lucas Platt, he was kind of like, well, let's also like, not only are we going to tell like real stories about how they investigate, like what goes down, all this stuff, but we're also going to like get to know these ladies like personally. Like they're going to share some of their life stories and like be able to kind of like connect with
that's what
an
makes
audience.
Successful reality television yeah, is so, when you like actually not only you hear their story but you care about like
totally.
The people behind it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just like, this is gonna be so cool. It's gonna be so big. Like everyone's excited.
I love it.
And one of Ami actually said, she's like, I felt like we were like the Charlie's Angels, you know, because we had like all these different backgrounds. We all had our strengths and we all just worked together as a team. And it was like, it was awesome. Like, everyone was doing their part. You know, they had people that were like kind of in the office who would do like research. And then they had the other ladies who would like, you know, follow someone who is being accused of being a cheater. And they're like trying to find out like, what's going on? Is he actually cheating?
See, I hate that this is a downfall because I'm like, this is so it would have been so cool. Like a great story, but I'm like, you said the downfall.
Yeah.
So in the back of my mind, you're telling me all this and I'm like, great, great, great. And I'm like, no, Kim, there's a downfall.
Yeah.
So
there was also one other guy working at the agency with them, and he would do like admin work. He would also like, sometimes there needed to be like a man for some of these like stings that they were doing.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So he was like the one guy besides the owner. Like, the owner was just kind of the owner, and then he would like assign the women cases and they would go investigate whatever. But he didn't really do the like, you know, actual.
What was more like, we need a guy, please come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that man was Carl Marino, and that's the man that I showed you the picture of. We will post the picture of him.
You know what's funny is that picture that you showed me looks like it's from the 50s. Doesn't it kind of, like, yeah, do you see why?
I guess. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, so that's why, like, you're telling
he's
me
pretty,
this.
He's pretty, like, clean cut.
Yeah, but it's just, like, he has, like, the rosy cheeks, like, guys used to have in, like, the 50s. So that's why I'm like, wait, oh, yeah, I guess the story tracks. But, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what throws me off.
So when they, like, hired Carl on with him being, like, the only guy, and he was, like, kind of this handsome type.
Yeah.
They, you know, obviously got to know him because he's their coworker and realized, like, oh, he's, like, an aspiring actor. So that's cool, whatever. In his free time, he's, like, trying to also, you know, make it big as an actor.
God forbid a man tries to have a career.
But it'll come into play in a lot of this.
Well,
so.
I listened to this podcast called Dating Detectives, and it's one you need to listen to.
Uh-huh.
One of the girls is a private investigator, and she mentions it's so cool because she does like undercover stories.
Yeah.
And she talks about like a lot of being a private investigator is acting, and a lot of it's just like, she calls it Paul Blarting, just observing the part. So it's kind of funny that you say that, because like I just think of her and how she says it's basically a lot of acting.
Yeah,
you have to be cool with a lot of weird things going on too.
So production's getting ready to start. Like, everyone's excited. It's like this whole thing. You know, there's starting to kind of be like this little buzz around it where it's like, have you heard about these San Francisco moms? Like, they're doing this thing and it's so cool. There was even like a Dr. Phil like episode that they did.
People talk about it named Kim and Danae, because that would be me and you.
So as production is getting rolling, freaking Carl is like, hey, Mr. Producer, Lucas Platt guy, I just think that, like, I should be the main character of the show. And he's like, you know, I was on a TV show called Trauma, and, like, I'm a great actor, and, like, you know, people think I'm handsome.
That's
and, like,
ruins it.
For the Lifetime Network, you know, like, this would really draw in the female audience, because they're going to tune in, because, like, I'm there. And they're really going to love it.
Really quickly, Lifetime is a network for women.
For women. Well, yeah, that's the whole fucking point. And so then the producer's just like, the show is called PI Moms. And, like, you're not a mom?
Okay, thank God.
So,
No. You're lucky we're even letting you be.
Like, you're not even going to be, like, part of this at all. Like, it's not about you, Carl. Shut up. So he's like, whatever, okay.
Typical.
Done with fucking Carl. Like, get out of here. So he thinks it's handled.
The audacity. The audacity.
The audacity to be like, hey, I think that I should be like the real main character of PI Moms.
It would be.
You are not a mom, sir.
It would be okay if he was like, hey, am I going to be featured on this?
Sure.
Valid question. But I need to be the star. No.
Ridiculous.
Men have to be the star of everything.
Ridiculous request.
Yeah, it's PI Moms.
You dumb. So this local journalist, Peter Crooks, was invited to do a story on the moms because, like I said, it was kind of like this
you
whole like buzz of
yeah.
like, ooh, this is exciting. This is cool. And so While they're in production, they're like filming for an episode. He rode along for a case, and they were trying to bust a man whose fiance had called in and was like, I think that my man is cheating on me. So they're like, girl, we got you. We're on it.
These are my favorites.
So they're fucking like following this dude around. They've got like one girl's driving. This other girl's in the other seat. She's got her camcorder ready. They're like waiting for this guy to like leave his house. He leaves, like she guns it. They're like following him, and they basically like end up following him to this restaurant.
I love that it's two of them, because that's like safe.
Yeah,
that totally. One of them's filming and one's driving. That's always something that like when I'm like PS, I'm like, you're filming and driving. That's kind of sketchy.
Yeah. So they get to the restaurant. Of course, he gets out and meets up with some woman who is not his fiance. And they start like making out, like they can see this all happening. And they're like, wow, okay. They've got it all.
So
she called it correctly. They've got it all on tape. Like, and that's the evidence that we needed. So Peter was just like, whoa, this is like the real deal. This is so cool. Like, I mean, who doesn't love like being involved in a fucking like a sting,
love catching, you know? Cheaters. That's why I watched Cheaters growing up.
Right. So also he's like, this is going to be a great show. He's like stoked to write this article, blah, 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 blah. So after he writes this article, or excuse me, after he went on this ride along, he received an email from a concerned citizen.
Carl?
Saying that the whole thing was fake and it had been set up to look like they busted a cheater, but really everyone involved was a paid actor that had been hired by agency owner Chris Butler.
You're kidding me.
So of course, you know, the journalist is like, well, that's fucking sketch. He's like, well, now I feel bamboozled. Like, I went on this thing believing that this is like legit, the real deal.
I would feel the same
You're
way.
You're going to make a fool of me?
Yeah.
No.
So I'll then, make a fool of you.
So then he emails the head like guy that's in charge of producing the show, Lucas Platt. And he's like, hey, here's this weird email I got. Just, you know, like, I don't want you to also be thinking that this is real if someone's telling us that it was all like a setup. And so,
yeah, because it's like, who do you believe? These right. women you spent time with and you got to know, or I mean,
or this concerned email. Citizen.
Yeah.
So Lucas, the producer, reassured Peter, the journalist. He's like, yeah, no, these are like 100%. Our goal is here is to tell real stories about real people. Like, this is not supposed to be some weird, like, embellished reality show that we're doing. Like, that is not what we signed up for. That is not what we're doing.
Being a private investigator, you don't need to embellish stuff.
Yeah.
You see enough crazy stuff that you, you know, it's just so stupid.
Yeah. So he's like, no, that's not what's happening. Like,
that's
these are,
about.
These are real. We want to like, you know, do good by these women and like make sure that we're telling their stories essentially.
Yeah.
And so, because he also knows, like, in the back of his mind, he's like, oh, God, this journalist is kind of, like, riled up about this. He could completely blow this if he decides to write an article saying that it's all fake.
You know? That's something I didn't even think about.
Yeah, and they're like, you know, filming and stuff. They haven't even, like, gotten it to the finish line where they're now, like, releasing episodes or anything. It's like, they're in the middle of this project. So he's got to protect that as well, where it's like, no, this is a real deal.
As these ladies, I would be so upset.
Yeah.
And I would be like, there's somebody trying to meddle in this.
Yeah.
Because what a cool opportunity we got.
For sure. And so the question now is like, who the fuck sent this anonymous email? And why are they trying to sabotage PI moms? And so the production team later planned, they had this really cool like sting operation where they were going to expose an unlicensed detective and be like, they were basically like calling him to as if they were like seeking his help. And they had this like fake case that they were like, hey, we need this help with this case. But they knew he was unlicensed. So they were trying to like bust him. Like, dude, you can't just be doing this. You're an unlicensed detective. Like, that's not cool. Like, leave it to the professionals.
Sounds like somebody, Carl, is meddling in something he knows nothing about.
Yeah. So on the Sorry big day of where like they're supposed to meet this unlicensed detective and like basically bust him for the show, like it was all going to be filmed, dude just never showed up. He backed out, never came, and they're like, what the fuck? Like, this was all ready to go. Like, it was going to happen. It was going to be a great episode, blah, blah, blah.
And it almost bolsters that concerned citizen messaging them that something else didn't work out.
Yeah. So the team eventually found out that this man that they were going to bust was basically, he had been tipped off. Someone told him,
oh my God,
this is going to be filmed. You're going to be busted.
Maybe don't show up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so now the PI moms and Lucas were pissed. They're like, who keeps fucking with this?
Understandably so.
We're trying to do this amazing thing. It's going to be so cool. And someone keeps fucking it up for us. And so they needed to figure out who it was.
So far it's two issues.
Two issues.
The person not showing up and then that concerned citizen. Mm-hmm. Okay.
To the journalist.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
So then... Lucas, he's like, okay, I need to figure out who this is. So he called the unlicensed detective and he's like, hey, you know, you were going to be filmed. I'm putting it out there.
Sorry.
Maybe just don't do unlicensed detective work. Yeah. But on a different note, who told you and why? And like, he's like, why don't, can you please call this person that told you? And he convinces the guy to call the tipster. And as soon as, like, a three-way call, you know?
That's actually really nice that that guy,
I know.
Like, he was going to get screwed over, but, like, yeah. It was nice that he's like,
all right.
You got me. Okay, I'll call.
Yeah.
Him. Yeah.
So he calls him, and guess who it fucking is? Carl Marino.
What?
Of course. Yeah.
Called it.
Yeah. So.
I Carled it.
Lucas told Chris, the agency owner, he's like, you gotta fire this dude. Like, he's fucking shit up.
He's meddling.
This is gonna be a complete failure if he continues to, like, get in here and just mess shit up. Like, it's not gonna be a show if he's still around. And so Chris was just kind of like, oh, yeah.
With the PI, you want people that are quiet.
Yeah. Like, stop. So Chris is like, oh, he's fine. I'll talk with him, blah, blah, blah.
No.
But he wouldn't fire Carl. So it was kind of funny. Like, in the documentary I watched, the producers all like, I don't get it. Like, why is he not firing this guy? Like, are they in love? Like, what's the deal?
I was
going
to say, does he think he's cute?
Are they lovers?
That's what I was going to say. I was going to be like, does he find him really cute? Is that why?
So basically the network sent Carl a cease and desist letter. And they're like, you are not a part of this. You are not to be included in any of this. You are not to meddle with any more of our production. Like, back up.
Did the women learn to not share anything with him?
Well, yeah, at that point they were like, fuck yeah. Carl. Like,
because I'm like, even if they
didn't
fire him.
Why are you trying to ruin
him,
this for
yeah,
us?
Yeah, he doesn't need to know anything anyway.
Hell no.
So he's just a little lowly office admin.
Yeah.
I was a lowly office admin. I can talk.
So obviously this pissed Carl off because in his mind, he thinks that he needs to be the main character. He's just such a handsome white man that he should be the star of PI Moms.
On Shut Lifetime, up. A network for women.
Well, yeah. Like, no one cares about you, Carl. So he, again, sends Peter Crooks, that original journalist, another email.
Are you fucking
This time, he's like, hey, it's me, Carl. Like, he's not trying to be anonymous.
Oh.
And he's like, but guess what? Guess what? Chris Butler is actually selling drugs. And not just any drugs. Quote, large amounts of marijuana, along with other drugs, prescription Xanax and steroids, that had been confiscated by the Contra Costa County Task Force. So there's a crooked cop taking these drugs off the street, selling them to Chris, to then go sell them, like, back to the streets, essentially.
Which isn't true. Okay, keep going. So, wait, do we hate Carl?
Yes, we hate Carl.
Okay, I'm just...
Fucking Carl.
Well, I'm just saying, like,
okay,
some crazy
so Chris stuff. Would basically give Carl, like, after Chris got the drugs, then he'd give them to Carl and be like, go sell this weed for me.
So he was getting drugs.
And then Carl was like, oh, I don't want to sell the drugs. And that's why he's telling the journalist this.
What? My mind just got blown. I was like, wait, he wouldn't do that. And you're like, you gave me the mom look. Yeah. I'm like, oh, no.
So that's a pretty heavy allegation. So, yeah. Of course, Peter's like, yikes. Like, this could be potentially, like, really dangerous. If someone is selling, someone in the police force is selling drugs to someone else to then sell back to the streets. Like, that's, like, not, like.
Cops can do some crazy shit, you know, like, yeah, like, lies, this is, like, a huge
deal. And, like, if this secret were to come out and it was, like, found out that maybe he knew, like, he's, could be in danger, you know?
Yeah.
And so he's, like, Carl, go to the police. And
why are you telling me this?
Yeah, like, I'm a journalist.
If you're so concerned,
like, do something. And then Carl's like, well, I don't know who I can trust, like, because obviously there's some,
trusting a random journalist,
there's some crooked cops, like, if this is true, you know, so like, who can you trust? And so Peter Crooks was like, well, then fine, I'll call the cops. So he called Contra Costa County police and he's like, hey, y'all need to look into Carl Marino. He apparently has some tea that he needs to tell you. It's not good. You didn't hear it from me.
Goodbye. I was about to say, you didn't hear it from me.
Yeah. And so what happened was that police did get in touch with Carl, and he ended up working closely with a lieutenant and a special agent to try and bust Chris Butler and the crooked cop.
Not saying it's right, but didn't Chris kind of stick out his neck for him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not saying it's right, but like,
okay. But he also had kind of like blackmail material on Chris. Like, fire me and then what? And then I'm going to tell everyone about your drugs.
That's something I didn't even think about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So through this whole like elaborate, like, you know, he's wired up, he's having conversations with Chris and the other drug dealer talking about setups and basically trying to like bust him that way.
Sure.
And they realize, they're like, okay, this is like for real. Like, the investigator was like, I don't know about this. And he's like, oh, this is like for real, for real. They're talking about like selling crystal meth, and like, we're actually hearing them have these conversations about this. So this is not just like Carl being Carl. This is like, this is a real deal. Like,
yeah, I didn't even think
someone
that
will be going to jail. Like, this is not just like, oh, whoops, you were selling confiscated drugs from the evidence locker. Like, no. That's like bad. So as all this is like going on, they're investigating Chris, but like under the radar. Obviously the PI moms and the film crew have no idea that this is happening.
I was about to say, they're, so this obviously is screwing them over because Carl had to have a little temper tantrum.
Yeah.
And Chris had to have a little selling drugs
problem.
Yeah.
So the PI moms, they're like still in production, but they start noticing like there's a lot of cops around, just like
randomly.
Always around.
Yeah.
Because the cops are also looking into
investigating
the PI moms, being like, are they part of this? Like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So valid. They were just like, this is like weird. Like, what's going on? So basically the show, they needed like one last shot to make this a super awesome TV show. They needed to like have an episode where there's no glitches, where it's like a win, so that it can get past production and like, yeah, make it to TV, you know?
Because there's already two strikes, unfortunately. Yeah. Yeah. You know? So after that,
and
it's
not
like,
to like their fault at all.
Sure, yeah.
You know? So they're like, okay, we really got to make this happen. So the producer was like, okay, there's this missing girl, like this missing teenager in the Bay Area. It's like all over the news. It's like she's supposedly a runaway. Like she left with like a backpack, her laptop, and like a little bit of cash. They can't find her. Everyone's freaking out. Her parents are worried sick, obviously. But if we can find her and bring her home, one, that's amazing for her parents and her family. Mm-hmm. But two, this is gonna like
bolster your career,
skyrocket this fucking show.
Yeah.
So, and you're gonna be taken very seriously because it's like,
I would absolutely watch
that's a big
show.
Deal. And yeah, they had like a a pretty big budget. So they had like helicopters flying around. Like they were going like balls to the wall. They are going to find this girl.
Yeah.
So once again, fucking Carl ruined it. He called Lucas and he's like, hey, bud, guess what? I've also been working this case. And you know what? I found this missing girl. And they're like, God damn it, Carl. So Carl like basically called the cops to come to this place where it was like, I found her. So it's like when they show up to where Carl like said he found this girl, it is like chaos. There are cop cars. There are fire engines.
It's
insane. There's media everywhere.
Oh my God.
Because everyone's been looking for her.
Well, let me guess. He didn't actually find her.
No.
He was just trying to...
Turns out fucking Carl didn't even find her. It was just like a false alarm. He basically just wanted to get on TV.
So he ruined this girl's potential safety.
And to be like hailed as a hero. And it's like, well, what was your game plan when like she's not even there? Like, you idiot.
He wasn't thinking, clearly.
Yeah. So basically, it's just a shit show. People are yelling, like because the PI mom's film crew is also showing up and they're like, what? Where's the girl? You know, like trying to get all this footage.
Yeah.
And it's like, this was just like not even real. Like, now there's a million people here all up in a tizzy and you created this and it's not even real. Like, what the fuck? So once again, he's inserted himself where he does not belong and basically just like ruined their chances. And so
that is so fucked on so many different levels,
right?
Because with runaways, time is of the essence.
Yeah.
And like, you're just any jealous. Missing
person,
like,
in any capacity, time is of the essence. Now you're wasting time, you're wasting resources, and you're bringing the attention to you versus the real issue where this girl is missing.
Could have been found if like more missing persons cases had the budget like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure there would have been so many people. So it's aggravating when like that, they did have the budget, but it was wasted. And
yeah.
It's like, it would have been nice if you could have used that correctly and, you know, potentially for another missing person case. Yeah. I don't know.
So at that point now, it is evident to the PI moms that it's Carl behind all this sabotaging. They're like, he's been doing this whole time. Like, are you kidding me?
We trusted him.
Yeah. Like, what the hell, Carl? So, this is wild. So February 16th, 2011, Chris Butler and Norman Wielsch, who he's the crooked cop. He was the former Central Contra Costa County, California Narcotic Enforcement Team commander.
Why am I not surprised?
Were arrested for their drug peddling crimes. So it was all true. They did bust him. I guess thanks to Carl, but also like, fuck you, Carl.
The cost of these women's livelihood.
Yeah, and now because Chris has been arrested, there is no more Butler and Associates. So like, it tarnishes PI moms completely. Like, and they're not even involved in it, which sucks.
Yeah, I was about to say, they didn't even get to do anything, even incorrectly. Yeah. Incorrectly.
And the PI moms, they found out, like, they were like watching the evening news and they're like, oh my God, that's my boss. Like, that's how they all found out. Like,
that sucks.
No one had any idea.
So it wasn't even, they didn't get the call of like,
hey, Chris has been arrested. No, like, they were like, wait, what?
Ugh.
So everyone's shocked. The show was canceled at that point. Like, they had to pull the plug. Like, it was just, it wasn't looking good. You know, everything had been sabotaged. Now Chris is getting all this, like, you know, press attention where it's like he's been selling drugs, but he was also running a private investigating.
Did anything happen to Carl?
I'll get there.
Okay. Sorry. I'm just obviously like.
So this is like a big story. And Peter Crooks, that original journalist, he wrote this like 10,000 word piece about the entire situation, the story, everything. And it just blew up. So with that story though, Carl Marino finally got the spotlight because he was the one who busted Chris and all this stuff. So Carl Marino went on a fucking press tour.
No
shit. To speak about his involvement in the sting operation, while the moms basically kind of had to take the heat over the criminal activity of the agency's owner. So even though they had no idea about these happenings, in the public eye, everyone was like, yeah, you guys all knew what he was doing. Like,
oh, shut the fuck up. Oh, yeah. I hate people.
So it just like really left a bad mark on all of them.
Yeah.
Carl Marino later landed the lead role on the Investigation Discovery series Homicide Detective as young Joe Kenda. That's why I thought you would recognize him. I love Joe Kenda too. So in that show who is like, when Joe Kenda is a retired Colorado Springs Police Department detective.
He's lieutenant. Very close to us.
So he was involved in like 387 homicide cases over a 23-year career span, and he solved 356 of those. So that's a like 92% rate of like getting shit done. So it's a great show, Homicide Detective is, but all the they kind of like interview Joe Kenda, and then they'll kind of like do like a, and what I did was, and they'll like story tell where they show like as if he was young, like making the calls and doing the investigating. And that's Carl Marino, who's like playing young Joe Kenda.
Is it still up?
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. And I love that show. Like, it's so fun. Like, I love Joe Kenda. He's amazing. But I was like, why do I recognize this guy? Like, the whole time I'm watching it. And then I was like, oh, what?
Yeah, I want to, like, look it up and see him, like.
I didn't know his backstory. So.
That just makes me mad that, like,
he just got to, like, be.
He got to live his dream. He got to get the
spotlight. He got to, you know, land a good role in TV. Like, it's just wild. So on May 4th, 2012, Chris Butler was sentenced to 8 years in prison for selling drugs, extortion, robbery, and planting illegal wiretaps. And on top of that, he was ordered to pay a $20,000 fine.
Oh.
So he's doing his, you know, what his time, and then the PI moms don't get their show, and then freaking Carl is just out here like,
here comes another man ruining his best life. For women.
And he was just like, I didn't do anything wrong, like I'm the only one in this entire situation who did anything right. And it's like,
no, you didn't.
Well, but like the PI moms had no idea. Like, the only reason that you knew was because Chris was giving you drugs to try and sell. Like, so no, you're not clear, and you're not like the hero of the story. So yeah, that's the crazy story of how the PI moms never got to become a show, because it would have been so sick.
That would have been a really cool show.
Yeah,
it's like relatable characters, and they're like solving cheating and all this stuff, and potentially, you know, finding a runaway teen.
Yeah. So.
So frustrating.
Fucking Carl.
I'm not shocked. Do you see my face? It's just like, oh, a guy ruined something for women. Probably.
Yeah. So he wanted to be the center of attention. And, like, the producer was just like, yeah, it takes a certain type of person that, like, just has this, like, ferocious need to be
the center of attention,
the spotlight, and
even
like,
though it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, so it's wild.
I've never heard that story. Yeah. Nothing even close to it, so that's crazy,
right?
I was trying to look up Homicide Detective, and then
have you seen that one? Have you seen Homicide Detective?
No.
Okay, maybe it was just me and Steven that had watched it.
I've heard of it. It's not
Joe,
like,
Joe Kenda's just like, he's such a badass, and then he'll be like, I don't know, like, I just remember there was this one episode where, like, someone was trying to, like, some person he was investigating for, like, selling drugs or something was like, oh yeah, it was like the Colorado Springs Crips were telling me to do it or something. And he was like,
that's not a thing. You he told was like, me this
that is not a thing. That is not a thing. There's not a gang of Crips in Colorado Springs. Like
there's no, not.
It's just not a thing. And it's like, he's just like funny. He's like deadpan funny, you know?
There are just some people that it, like, that kind of humor works for them. I remember you telling me that. I think, like, in our first two episodes, yeah, we talked about that. You're like, that's not a thing. So, well, fucking Carl ruining it for some moms who are just trying to, like, get their name out there.
Yeah, like, do good so work.
Frustrating. And,
you know, be, like,
productive members of society.
Yeah, and not that, like, you know, stay-at-home moms aren't, like, productive members of society. No, but, like, but they, I mean, like, there was some empowerment to them being, well, like,
it's them looking not for, only like, are we moms, teens,
but we're also, like, solving cases, like, as our job, you know? Like,
because well, people that's are like, so cool. Oh, just a mom. It's like,
just.
If you yeah, saw the things I do, along with also, like,
regular life.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, okay. Oh, that's so upsetting.
Yeah, it is upsetting. And like, it sucked too because they were gonna get like really vulnerable and like tell personal stories and stuff. And like, it was gonna be cool. Like, Ami had a really kind of like traumatic past that she was gonna, you know, like talk about and
potentially help other people out.
Exactly. That's exactly right. To help other people and like, who knows who that could have, like,
impacted
or, like, changed someone's
like,
life.
Younger girls could have seen that and be like, that could be me, and then, like, follow that career totally, path. So, yeah. Fucking Carl.
Fucking Carl. So, anyways, fuck you, Carl.
Yeah, we hate you, and thank you for ruining things for everyone else out there. Yeah. But we'll post pictures. I'll post that picture on our Instagram. We're just Mysterious Mavens Pod, just on Instagram.
Yeah, and if you have any stories that you want us to cover or anything you want to share with us, really anything.
Guys, we love hearing from you. We've been hearing more and more, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm pretty on top of it, so I usually like screenshot it, send it to Danae, and be like, look at this. So
yeah, so you can email us at Mysterious Mavens Pod.
Ratings help, guys, so please rate us 5 stars. If you don't want to do that, then don't.
Yeah.
If you want to do less than that, just don't. But
yeah, the email is mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com.
Sorry, I'm like, let me interrupt you. I'm very good at that. But all right, well, self-care for yourself.
Self-care yourself.
All right, okay. Bye.